Welcome to another episode of Connecting with the Toms. I'm Julie, your number one trauma-informed movement coach.
I'm Dr. Tom, biological medicine practitioner in Scottsdale, Arizona. Our goal certainly is to give you hopefully unbiased information, things that you can think about to promote, things that you can do for yourself, things you can do for your family in order to improve your quality of life, whatever that means. We're not here to give you specific medical advice because that's really not what the goal is. It's really to give you unbiased education. We're not selling anything. We're just offering opinions about our many, many years of experience of working with individuals with some of their specific challenges.
And selfishly, it's about me spending time with my dad. So that's what you get to hear. I get to spend time because my dad is probably the smartest man I know on the planet. You get to listen to me talking and chatting with my dad and bonding. So yay. So today we're going to be diving into the world of fasting. So what's been coming up a lot in my mentorship group is a lot of the ladies have been talking about detoxing and fasting with the new season soon upon us. And I thought it would be a good topic for us to discuss because there are lots of different types of fasting that you can do. There are options. And that's what we were talking about in our mentorship. And how do you decide which one you should do, how you should do it, and why you should do it. So I thought, why not talk about this today? So as a caveat too, is that something I've been actually practicing or playing with fasting for the last couple of weeks. So I want to hear what my dad has to say based on like what I've doing, because I've changed the way I've fasted the last 2 weeks compared to what I've done in the past. So Dad, what do you want to get us started and help us understand, like, what is fasting? Because you left a little like cliffhanger at the last podcast. What is fasting?
Well, if you look in the in the dictionary and look what the definition is and what people's conception is, if you ask somebody, if you were to do a fast, what does that mean? The knee-jerk reaction from people is you don't eat. That's really what it's become, but from my perspective, that's not what it is. It's part of what it is, but it's not the aspect of what you're ultimately trying to do. The reason that people do fasting, aka not eating, or change their diet significantly to, you know, whether it's juice or vegetables or smoothies or something or other, is to take some of the burden off their organ systems. You know, the number one organ system that we're relaxing, of course, is the digestive system, to try and allow it to either catch up, to regenerate, to, you know, get rid of some of the accumulated toxicity that's tended to happen over a period of time. As we tend to think of doing fasting before we're going into the winter, and certainly in the spring, it's another time after we've been in the winter, because theoretically we think about the winter as a slowing down. We don't do as much activity. The weather is such that, you know, we're not outside. We don't have as much sunlight. We're not exposed to as much natural vitamin D, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and plus we've been through the holiday season, from Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, et cetera, for what's going on. So fasting at that point, and what has been done for years, and it's fasting as part of religious ceremonies in some religions also, that, you know, they do a period of time where they're not eating to give them a period of time to self-reflect, to reach a spiritual awareness, a spiritual heightened. The Native Indians basically, you know, would do sweat lodge to basically and not eat and even not drink for days to be able to reach the highest level of awareness from. So fasting is not just not eating. There's another piece of that, which we'll get into, to try and encourage people to achieve what it is. But just not eating is not going to accomplish, from my perspective, the ultimate goal of why somebody would do a fast.
Why should somebody do a fast?
That's a great question. And before I answer that, so I used to do fasting 30 years ago, much more commonly with patients. And that was before the era of cell phones, for the most part, the time of a telecommuting, before the era of social media, et cetera. And it was one-on-one conversations with people. So medicine has totally changed in those last 30 years. And so has this concept of fasting. So fasting back in those days, I'll say, was this opportunity that, and I used to do it from starting Thursday night until Monday morning. It wasn't only the aspect of changing your diet, either doing very simple foods, you know, the most severe scenarios, water fast, we always need water. And so people would stop consuming any type of solid food or any type of nutritional food for a period of time, for typically 3 days, but there's 3 days, 7 days, 12 days, you know, whatever period of time that the person was needed to do it. But before they do that, my sense was, are you in a physical place to be able to do that? Are you physical, meaning your biochemistry? Is your biochemistry in a good place? Assuming you're not having blood sugar issues, assuming you're not having, because too low blood sugar, which could easily happen during fasting, may not be a preferred time for somebody, you know, for what's going on. We need a certain amount of nutrition to our organs to work. And if we're not eating, we're getting it from somewhere else, AKA we're breaking down our own tissues. So some people will fast because, oh, I want to lose some weight. Really what they're doing is they're losing water. They're not really losing weight because, you know, as soon as they start to eat, it comes back. So it's like, oh, et cetera. So the aspect of that, therefore, in those days, 30 years ago, was they literally, you know, we didn't have cell phones, so you didn't even have to turn it off. Basically, you know, you stayed home. You didn't go to work on Friday. You arranged that. You actually unplugged your landline, because that's all we had in those days. So somebody phoned, you didn't answer the phone. I'd say, tell people that you're gone for the weekend. You're going out of town. You're not available. And so you basically would sit, you'd meditate, you'd read books. We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have any of that stuff. It's like, oh my God, I lived in the Fred Flintstone era. It was like, you grew up and you didn't have any of that. How could you survive?
What did you do in your time?
I know. It's like, what? Like, oh my God, you mean I had to actually read a book? You had to go to the library and get a book and look at real pages and not read it on a Kindle or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So people had this opportunity to truly be with themselves, if you like, or their partner, or whoever they were doing this with. And, you know, they wasn't a time where, oh, I'm going to go hiking this weekend. No, you basically stretched, you meditated, you moved your body, you moved your lymphatics. So going for a walk, and we didn't put ear pods on, we didn't listen to a transistor radio. It's like, this was quiet. This was a quiet time. This was a time where you would ultimately reflect and allow your organ systems, all 11 of them, to basically be at a place of rest and regeneration. You know, previous ones we've talked about vagus nerve. This is like a straight vagus nerve opportunity to, we're not in any type of sympathetic dominance. We're not making decisions. We're not going to work. We're not solving problems. No, we're not thinking about paying taxes or what I'm going to do next week. This was a straight break from the routine, which was a great opportunity to give it your reset. It's like turning your computer off and, you know, letting it rest for a while and then rebooting your hard drive. So this is like rebooting your hard drive of all 11 key organ systems that we're talking about. So that's when I did a lot of fasting. That's what we were able to do. We didn't have these outside distractions like are present nowadays. And of course, which now begs the point, well, do you fast now? Not really, because if somebody is willing to do what I just said, separate yourself from the outside world, then we really will get the full benefit of the fast. If you're going to do it partially, which means you're simply not going to eat, you will get some benefit because you'll rest your digestive system. However, if you continue all the other day-to-day activities of life, then your parasympathetic system is not the one, is the one I'd like to mostly support, doesn't get that opportunity to truly be calm, relaxed, get out of that sympathetic dominant state that we're trying to read. That's the reset. Not eating is a partial reset. That's sort of like just putting your computer to sleep so you can't see it. But the real fast, a total parasympathetic to me, is like shutting your computer off, and which allows the hard drive to totally reset itself. So that's sort of the framework, I think, that we can continue this discussion.
So basically, in this day and age, the way people do what you just did is they go to silent retreats or they go to weekend retreats. So we did a podcast on mind-altering drugs and, you know, people that go do ayahuasca and, you know, do all these different type of things. That's essentially like, that's like the new age way to get to do a detox, right? Right. This is what people are doing. So there are ways, that's why things have changed, things have amended, because I know fasting became more popular with the ketogenic diet when that really hit the scene. I don't know, 10 years, whatever, however long ago, you know, it hit the scene. But more people are like, oh, we can do like 16, you can fast for 16 hours, or you can do an 18 hour, or you can do a, you know, 20 hour, or you can do a, like you just said, a water fast and that type of stuff. And that's where all these different styles, I guess you can say, but people are, I guess the point, like to answer the question that I asked, like who should, or why should I consider a fast? Who should, if you are just going to, you know, fast, stop eating, understand that if you stop eating, you're really focused on supporting your digestive system. That's, you know, like if you're going to choose to fast, choose like, what am I trying to do for my body? Is the question you need to answer or ask yourself.
That's the key thing. It's like, what is your main purpose of fasting? And, you know, when I ask people that, they usually say, well, I, you know, we'll say it's in the springtime. We'll say, well, it's sort of, I've sat around, I've gained 5 pounds in the winter because I was less active than I typically am in the summer. You know, we're coming into swimsuit season and I want to look better in a bathing suit, or I'm going on vacation, whatever. I mean, whatever the reason is, that they're all reasonable and logical. I said, that's great, because I'm sure you'll be able to accomplish that by doing a fast in this case of decreasing your calorie intake. And if you decrease your calorie intake below your basal metabolic rate, which is the amount of calories that your body is burning if you're literally just lying still, just in order to keep all your organs functioning. And let's say it's, you know, 1400 calories a day, which is like, oh, that's not many. So as you go to, if you go to 500 calories, or if you're drinking water, you go to 0 calories. Of course, you're going to lose weight, because the body says, we got no calories. We got to steal it from somewhere. So we're going to burn some fat. We're going to break down some tissue, muscle tissue. If you need protein, you don't get any protein out of fat. So you're going to break down some of your protein. So you theoretically will break down some of your muscle, because you'll have to, because it's where you're going to get amino acids to continue the basic metabolic process of what's going on. So there's, you know, if you want to reset your digestive system, doing a fast, and we haven't talked, I mean, do you do a vegetable fast? Which is, if you're going to do one, I much prefer vegetables over fruit. But if you have a blood sugar issue, then fruit may have to be a choice, because you don't want your blood sugar to get too low to the point where you get dizzy or lightheaded, or, you know, you don't feel well, you get a headache, etc. So, I mean, you have to look at that individually, and you also have to look at individual metabolic problems that person may be having going into this. So you have to decide for yourself, what is the reason that I'm doing this? If it's from a mental, emotional, spiritual component, which I hope would be part of it, I would say then you need to be looking at, what am I going to do parasympathetic wise? And that's where you turn off your cell phone and isolate yourself from the world, and you don't start binge watching, you know, Yellowstone or some television show that you haven't had the opportunity to see yet. In general, you truly go away. And said, the best thing to do is tell people you're gone. Unplug your phone, turn your cell phone off, and you know, don't necessarily go interact with the world. So the hope is, since you're not eating, you don't have to go to the grocery store, take a few days off. And if you have the opportunity to do it longer, as you said, silent retreats are what people are doing in that regard, because it allows them to truly get, that's where you're probably going to get into your parasympathetic state. Not eating, well, remember, we go parasympathetic when we're eating. If we're not eating, psych says, well, why would I need to be in parasympathetic? That's because we're doing all this other stuff, which will keep you in sympathetic. So let's take the opportunity to get rid of all those other outside activities that will have more of a sympathetic dominant effect than the parasympathetic state that we're trying to achieve.
And that's exactly what came up in our mentorship. So we've been talking about, I think I was editing one of our podcasts and my dad talked about, like, how much time do you spend in a sympathetic state in a 24-hour day? And many of us are realizing that we're, you know, not at the 640 that we should be. We're closer to 80, 90, 10 or 20. So we were talking about fasting to help us explore and get more into a parasympathetic state. So that's actually what I've been doing, is exploring how to be in a more parasympathetic state. Can it be done? Is really what I'm testing. Cause I'm coming from somebody that my life has been very, very busy, and the chronic fatigue and the whole bit, you know, like I've had my own fair share of health issues, and understanding that I've been living in a survival for a really long time, that can I actually shift my body, my mind, and my soul in a more parasympathetic environment? And so I have been doing that. So like when I wake up in the morning, I've been nebulizing, doing pressure, doing vagus nerve stimulation, doing eye drills. So I've been spending at least an hour, my day is spent just getting into my sensory input, right? And just like slowing down. And it's been such a interesting process. But what got me there, what made my decision to do, like I did, I started on a Thursday, like my dad said, and it was like a quiet weekend for me. And it was just more spending more alone time. And something, so it's something I've been sharing on Instagram and on my social media a lot, is a lot of people are afraid of being alone. And there, that to me is something that needs to be addressed, because, you know, there is a difference between feeling alone and lonely. And many of us are not necessarily comfortable being in our own presence and just hanging out with ourselves and just, you know, what are my thoughts? Because what I've been seeing with my own clients is that we are all in our head a lot. So when we're talking about fasting to me is an opportunity for you to get out of your head, if you will, is an opportunity for you to like stop the ruminating and stop all the chaos that's been going on and the multitasking and whatnot, and an opportunity just for you to be like, do I love just being alone by myself, right? And if you're an introvert, it's probably a little bit easier, right? But it's not what I mean. It's more about on an emotional level, alone time. It takes 90 seconds for you to process emotions. And when you're alone, it allows you space to be able to process emotions that you're going through. That being said, one question I had is that one of my clients, he's like, I could never fast. I get so hangry when I, you know, don't eat for a few hours. And is that has to do with blood sugar, Dad? Or why would somebody like, I'm never going to fast because I just get too hangry?
That may be blood sugar, but if you look at the emotion, anger is typically the emotion that's coming from the liver. We look at physiology of, you know, from a Chinese medicine perspective. So I would say if it's blood sugar, but, you know, theoretically, you should easily be able to fast for, you know, that's why intermittent fasting has come in. Physiologic rest is like 16 to 18 hours of not eating anything, and the body should be able to cope with it. And how does it cope with it? We have an organ called our liver that's like many of our other organs are absolutely essential for life. And one of the functions, the liver has like 500 different things that it does, believe it or not. And one of the things it does, it will maintain your blood sugar by literally producing glucose from, you know, from all the nutrients and things that we have. So if somebody is getting angry, my initial assumption would be, what else has been going on with them? And their liver is not kicking in adequately to be able to maintain, to produce what's needed. And why do we need glucose? We need glucose because that's what our brain, that's the fuel, that's the gasoline for our brain. That's the preferred fuel. It can burn fat if push comes to shove. And of course, that's what happens. So, you know, when you're fasting, you still need fuel for the brain to be able to survive. So it'll start breaking down fat. And that's another reason people think, oh, this would be an ideal way because I'll break down my fat. But once again, you're probably losing water initially. And if you're doing lots of activities, you're probably going to struggle a lot more. So the blood sugar is probably independent, unless, of course, you have a metabolic issue with diabetes, hypoglycemia, which are real things that people are ultimately experiencing. Then you start playing the other organs. Remember, none of this happens in a vacuum. None of this happens independently. We've always mentioned our 11 main organ systems are all being impacted. They're sort of sitting back and say, what the hell's happening? What are you doing to me? Because people will fast and suddenly start getting a rash. The body says, oh, it's a great opportunity to get rid of stuff because I couldn't push it out through the skin at this point. Or they have diarrhea. I said, how could I have diarrhea? I'm not eating anything. The body says, oh, get rid of this stuff. We're not spending all our energy over here. So let's take this window that we have and get this stuff done. And then people are all worried. It's like, oh my God, what's happening? So, you know, having an understanding of what may happen and having, you know, you knowing your health history before you start into this purpose of what it is you're doing. As you said a minute ago, why are you doing it is the first and most important question you need to ask, so you have an understanding of what may happen and educate yourself on the types of things that may happen. And, you know, obviously, if you're putting extra strain, don't know that your cardiovascular system is going to be capable of doing that. But we're not going out running marathons. We're not, you know, doing lifting weights. We're just taking a little walk. If we can get out because the weather is appropriate, to sit in your backyard or, you know, whatever. You're basically functioning at your basal metabolic rate, not spending extra calories doing all these other things that we do on an everyday basis.
Exactly. Because I've been telling my clients that. They're like, I haven't stepped foot in my gym, even though it's in my basement. I haven't stepped in 2 weeks. And they're like, what? That must be, what are all the emotions that are showing up and the guilt and frustration? And I'm like, because I've moved my whole body. And I'm like, no, I'm just moving in a different way. I'm just offering space for me to heal in a different light. So I don't know how long I'm going to do it for, but it's, I'm letting my body guide me. I'm letting my body kind of tell me what I need. And I'm using, and I'm listening to the cues. Like for me, what the cue, what got me to fast and stop exercising, if you will, stop going to the, like lifting stuff in my gym or doing mobility work or whatever, is that I kept waking up with congestion in one of my sinuses. Every morning I was waking up with it and I'm like, why does this keep showing up? And so it's like my body's obviously burdened and one of the systems is, you know, not working. And I know through a little bit of work and work with my dad is that because of which side of my face it's on, I know it's my stomach and my spleen. I can come at it energetically and be like, okay, what emotions are stuck? So what I'm doing is that I'm allowing myself the space to look at the different bodies, meaning I'm looking at my physical body, I'm looking at my mental body, I'm looking at my spiritual body and my emotional body to allow myself to heal on all levels. Because like my dad said, we do not live in a vacuum. Everything is connected. So this is what fasting is really all about. So if you're going to fast, is this something that you're willing to explore and like look into and, you know, like what's going on in your mind? What's going on emotionally for you? What's going on physically for you? And what's going on spiritual? Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, if you don't know what your purpose is in life, that's a big piece of the puzzle. So I know I'm going into this fasting. I've been fasting for 2 weeks now. I'm going into it knowing with the intention to connect with myself, because I know my purpose for me is connection to me. So that's the word I use. And that's what I'm doing every morning. And that's like when I do the Castor Oil Pack, I'm putting it on because I'm connecting to me. I'm allowing myself to feel, to be alone and to go inward, right? So that's where we can heal. So it's a little bit different. I know it's a little bit philosophical maybe, because a lot of people are like, just, it's just calorie in, calorie out, right? And that's what mainstream, that's what the internet really has sensationalized. And so our two cents is that, you know, there's more than just calories in, calories out. You got to look at more pieces of the puzzle. So one question I have for you then, Dad, is who shouldn't fast? People who aren't willing to do that, get into all the bodies, but other than that, is there somebody that shouldn't fast?
I think the biggest contraindication, of course, is the state of your physical body. There are people who are undergoing cancer treatments, people who are already, you know, have some pretty significant health problems. You need to be very mindful that these people need calories and able to function, because, you know, if your body is healing from some imbalance, some challenge, what we don't want to be starving it of is the adequate levels of nutrition to supply specific nutrients. Although, you know, that could mean that they could do a very simple diet, and changing your diet, fasting, because there's so many permutations and combinations, it could simply mean instead of eating, you know, three meals a day with, you know, lots of carbs, but you basically eat stir fries and some vegetables that are easy to digest, and you're not eating any raw foods. So, I mean, there's to that first simplest aspect, to the aspect of water only. And water only fast, in my opinion, requires medical supervision. That is not something somebody should do at home. I think that's way too difficult without knowing and understanding what your blood pressure is, and are you measuring blood pressure, and do you have way to measure your blood sugar? You know, the two most obvious things, and, you know, are you measuring your pulse? What's your heart doing? How's your heart dealing with this? You know, we don't want somebody to have a catastrophic event because they decided that they wanted to lose 5 pounds because they're going to a wedding in 3 weeks. So we need to be mindful of that. So you know, from the aspect of who shouldn't fast, from what way we're talking about it, it's some, I would call it metabolic illness, where the body can't afford to not have adequate levels of nutrients going in. I think the real benefit is, you've just outlined it. Look at your purpose, take the opportunity to do that. And just on sort of the other side of that coin is when you said being alone with yourself, first being lonely. Unfortunately, when people have not done some of this work, they're going to find things come up and they have a very hard time quieting their mind, which is not very comfortable. And they don't get into parasympathetic, because you may need to realize that some of that work probably would be better done beforehand, so that you have the opportunity. And, you know, and it doesn't mean that, because often people say, well, I can't meditate. What do you mean? I said, well, my mind goes all over the place. I said, well, that it's practice. It's like anything. Somebody, you know, Olympic athletes don't go to the Olympics simply and say, oh, I'm going to show up and do, you know, run the marathon. It's like they've been training for years and years and years. So just like, you know, fasting isn't something I'm just going to not eat this weekend, which, you know, theoretically is what the internet is saying. What we're saying is, if you're going to fast, you need to prepare for it. You need to prepare for what it is, what's going to happen, what you're willing to do, how you're going to shut out the outside world for whatever period of time that you are planning to do this. And when you put all those pieces of the puzzle together, the true benefits of this is beyond question. It is an incredibly powerful therapy and incredibly helpful for many people to do that. The reset, you know, I use the analogy again of the hard drive. Turn your computer off once in a while. Don't just let it run and run and run, because we know it if it just runs, even if it's in sleep mode, it's picking up viruses. We know it is, because, you know, the internet is constantly being bombarded. We're constantly around Wi-Fi's. Shut the thing off, so nothing is literally going into it. That's what we're asking the body to do. That's what we're asking, you know, the mind to do, to, as we balance. The most obvious is always the digestive system, but, you know, it's only one of the main systems that we're talking about. We're trying to support all your organ systems when we do this. So it's a multifactorial jigsaw puzzle that involves multiple things. So do the preparation and don't just decide on Wednesday, oh, I think I'll fast this weekend because it's a quiet weekend. It's the preparation that has to go into it that will improve the, and when you do that, you will be encouraged to do it again, because you will realize how much enlightenment, is the word I'll use, that you've had. Now, obviously, life goes on. We can't just be fasting all the time and living in this not our real world, because we live in a real world and we have real activities and the jobs to go to and things to do and kids to look after and, you know, kids to take to soccer and baseball and hockey practice and everywhere else that we do with our kids for what's going on. So it is the opportunity, however, to reposition yourself, reposition your nervous system, but more importantly, reposition all your organ systems. And this is one of the therapies that has the ability to do that. Once again, with a caveat that you are in a metabolic place, that your body will be able to do that. And maybe that's a discussion you need to have with your physician about whether or not you would be a good candidate to do this type of work for yourself as a new reset button that we think everybody should be doing at some point in time.
What should I be doing in my day that I can do to support myself on all the different levels? Do you have a recommendation, or is this just like, it's up to me, and like I'm going to journal from like, you know, 9 to 10, and then I'm going to go for a walk from 10 to 11, and then 11 to 12 I'm going to make some tea, I don't know, whatever. Like, is there a recommendation you have, or is there just it's just more, I'm going to take a, you know, like I hear digital detox is just pinging in my ear. A lot of people just, I'm going to be off in, you know, social media for a while or whatever. Like, obviously you're going to make that decision if you're going to fast fully. Like, obviously I'm not fasting fully. Like, I'm still working, but my fast is I'm focused on movement and connecting to my purpose. So it's the way I start my day. That's the difference. And so I do have a plan every morning of what I need to do. Like, because the weather's changing, I'm going to bring an infrared sauna, and I've got castor oil packs. I got lymphatic stuff. So I'm just like layering, but I have a plan of what I'm doing.
I don't think it has to be as regimented way. From 10 to 11, I do this. From 11 to 12, I do this. I just think if we step back to the big picture, we're going to go back to what we said last time, which was the sleep time. You still need to get up at the same time. You still need to go to bed at the same time. And theoretically, depending on the nature of the fast that you're doing, if you're doing a vegetable fast, for example, then at regular mealtimes, you're basically having a drink of vegetable stir fries. I actually prefer to actually eat the food versus juicing things. I'm not a big fan of juicing because I think we lose too many nutrients.
What about the chewing? Because I know you talk about that too.
Yeah, well, that's why I would prefer that people would eat like stir-fried vegetables.
Right.
You get a whole bunch of vegetables, you know, put them all in a pan and stir fry them, and at the appropriate time, eat those. So we're not eating, you know, we're not eating extra protein. We're not eating, whether it's, you know, a legume, soy protein, or an animal protein. We're taking that out of the picture because those are obviously a little bit harder to digest. We're not putting heavy fats in there. We're not, you know, adding olive oil in this case onto the stir fries. We're just stir frying it up. Once again, heating it because it's easier to digest something that's not cooked versus heated, even cooked versus raw food. So do that at a regular time. But if you want to walk in the morning, walk in the morning. If you want to walk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, walk in the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And what you do through the rest of your day, depending on, as I said, what you're doing a partial fast, I would call it. But still, it's allowing the body to do what it is, because at some point through that, there will probably be an opportunity to shut that off, be it a Sunday or whatever day, where you don't have to do anything like that. You don't have clients. You don't have to work, per se. You don't turn the television on. You can certainly a digital detox where you no social media, no interaction with Wi-Fi or anything like that. So I don't think it has to be so regimented that at such and such a time I do this, this, and this, other than the sleep and so-called meal times. That has to be regimented because that is what the adrenal gland mostly likes to see. And that's always where we start in that regard. The biggest thing is let's not carry on our life as we normally would and not through this think, oh God, I should have done that yesterday. It's like, just do it when you're ready to do that, when you're sort of back in reality. That's how I tend to think about it.
For me, the way I went into it is that how can I support each of the four bodies for me? And that's how, like, my fast is what I'm doing, is I'm focused on spending more time supporting the different bodies, the physical, the emotional, like all the different bodies, so that I'm doing something to kind of, you know, reset myself. But I'm like, it's at the same time, I'm like, yes, I'm still working, but I have more space. So when I fast, it's easier. Like I'm creating more space. I don't know when I'm going to change my eating, but it's more like, it's just a mental switch, if you will, because my mind's always racing, that it's like, I need to have, like, what can I do for myself mentally? You know, to turn off my mind today? And what can I do for myself physically to move my body or whatever? What can I do for myself emotionally? What can I do for myself spiritually? So for me, those are like the foundation, if you will, of my fast, so that if I'm doing all that, and then now, like, in my, you know, when I go back to not fasting, if you will, is that I'm going to be able to do those things because I'm kind of setting the foundation and setting those pillars in place. So that's how I can change the direction of my life so that I don't feel pain when I wake up and I'm not congested.
I think during this period of time that you're doing that, as long as you do it, you're knowing that, and you're going to get a sense of how you feel from each of these different activities, because you're right. The goal is to learn something from this opportunity and then to be carried that opportunity. You know, maybe it won't be as much time, but it doesn't mean you can't do it for 5 minutes. As opposed to an hour, let's say, during this particular time when you have the space, but, you know, when life goes on, you may not have the space. But we always have time to do it. You know, we have talked in previous podcasts about the importance of breathing and taking the opportunity about the aspects of trying to, you go to deep breathing where we're with consciously 5 to 6 times a minute. And so to retrain your breath to become 5 or 6 times a minute. So you have the opportunity during the fast to be, it's a great opportunity to practice this deep breathing, for example, throughout the period of time that you're doing it. And then as you carry that on, maybe it's 5 minutes twice a day, when you're not in the fast, but your brain eventually says, I can just do that all the time. I don't even need to think about it because it just feels so much better that I can reset this CO2 intolerance, which is one of the main reasons we're breathing as opposed to looking for oxygen. So, I mean, you have that opportunity of all the things that we have talked about in the basic treatment guidelines. This is a great opportunity to really nail them down. You mentioned that you get up and do a nebulizer in the morning, and you know it's like during the fast is that, but you know when you're not fasting, you know if you've done it for a while, you don't have to do a nebulizer every day, especially when you broken the cycle. But you know what a wonderful activity to do at the same time as doing your castor oil pack. You're doing two of the most amazing therapies you can do. Hopefully then to carry them on, and maybe you end up doing it three times a week because that's what works in your schedule on an ongoing basis. So, you know, it's like, oh my God, I got to do this again. It's like, you break that cycle. You don't even think about that anymore. You just know that when I do this, it's in my opportunity to get in that space of calmness, parasympathetic. It's having a really positive physical aspect, but it's also have a very positive mental, emotional, spiritual aspect.
Exactly. So it's almost like if you want to change your behaviors or you want to change your habits, this is a fasting is, you know, like air quotes, fasting is a great way to transition to these are the behaviors that I do want to start adopting. So like to add on to the nebulizing castor oil, you can also do your breathing with it. It's fantastic. That's what I've been doing. So, you know, I've been working on the inhale, you hold it, you exhale and you let all the stuff fly all over you. It's fantastic. So it's a great time. Like you get three birds really in like however long it takes, 20 minutes, and you know, like, and then you put colored glasses on and you're, oh my God, there's so many things. It's amazing. But these are the things that we're looking for, is that, you know, use the fast as an opportunity to shift the direction in which you're living your life, really. So, you know what I mean? Not to like tell you why you should do the fast, but if you're struggling with like, you know what, I'm really having a hard time with doing something that I know I want to do, maybe that fast can help shift you in that way. And I guess fasting is like a, I don't know, it's a buzzword, but it's not really like, is that really what fasting is? It's more of a behavior change. It's more of a transition time. It's more of an opportunity for you to pause. Cause I think a lot of people really struggle with pausing in their life. And that's where, like with my daughter, something that we learned from her horse therapy is when you're feeling a lot and when you're feeling overwhelmed and when you're feeling stuck, it's because you're going too fast. So pause. So, and that's, I'm hearing this a lot too, with people like, Julie, I'm stuck. And what's been coming up for me is you're going too fast. And one of the girls in my mentorship, she's like, I can't go slower physically. I'm like, I understand, but what can you do mentally? You're going too fast mentally because your mind is so programmed to anticipate and plan, especially as a mom. I am a mom of three kids. You always have to plan. And because, you know, you got like tonight, I got two kids going two different directions at the exact same time. What am I going to do with the third kid? I got to make dinner. When am I going to plan it? You know, like I got a work schedule. I have clients that I have to get back to and I got to edit the podcast. There's so much happening. And so my mind has to be prepared to be like, ah, I got to do all this stuff, right? But what we want to be able to do is when you're feeling that is pause. And that's what the fast really is doing, is offering you the opportunity to pause.
Well said, well spoken, definitely, because that's really what it is. It's about a pause. It's a pause in, you know, what it is. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the people who have just listened to this now have this realization that it's not what most people, and the knee jerk is, oh, I'm not going to eat. It's like, right. That's part of it. But that's from our perspective of fasting, it's a lot more than that. It's really, it's to get a new inner sense of your internal workings on all levels, which is
absolutely
what you said so eloquently.
Yeah. Like I created a post a few weeks ago and I actually did like an acronym. So PAUSE stands for practice noticing sensations that are showing up in your body. A is awareness of the sensations. U is understand the triggers that make you feel whatever it is that you're feeling. S is soothe yourself by repeating thoughts and movements that are soothing to your nervous system. And E is energy is moving through your body to practice a variety of modalities. So when you look at that, like it's something that I created that based off of my daughter, just watching her and how she responds in the environment and how easy it is for her to be triggered. Because it's, you know, when you're working with trauma and you're working with the nervous system, it's not if, it's when. So the more opportunities you give yourself. And I'm realizing that, you know, someone who's been living in a reactive survival state for so long, that's why I'm doing this. Well, I'm on 2 weeks. I may continue it on because it's inviting the opportunity for me to continue to practice pausing. And it's like, I was joking with my client, like my client and I had a challenge, if you will, so we both had to sit down and watch nature. That was our movement snack for the day. Is that I'm like, oh my God, what, I could be doing so many other things. So she's like, I'm going to sit by the fire. She likes fire. She's like, I'm going to make a fire every night and I'm just going to sit and watch the flame. That's going to be my movement snack for the day. And I'm like, that's great. And I'm like, okay, I don't have a fire pit at my house. So I'm like, I'll sit on my swing and I'm going to watch the clouds go by. So that was a really, really hard thing for me to do, let me tell you, because I'm like, all I'm thinking about is like, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to do this. And I'm like, oh, how do I do this? And then next thing you know, but I kept practicing. Like my dad said, like the whole meditation thing, if you keep practicing, you got to put in the reps. So that's what we talk about in my mentorship group is like, are you putting in the reps? You know, fast forward 3-4 weeks, you know, 2 months down the road. Now here I am. I'm like, I actually crave sitting in my chair, just watching the clouds go by because I like how it makes me feel. And it's just literally about layering it. And it was just like, yeah, it sucked the first couple of days. I'm like, I did like maybe 10 seconds, but then I was like, you know, and then you start looking at shapes and then you're watching the leaves and you're looking, analyzing. I'm like watching the trees and all the kind of stuff and looking at blades of grass and you start studying it and you're like, what? It's just a different place for you to heal. And that's where I find that many people, when I assess people's vagus nerves, so everybody, like if you're listening to this, if you're not driving, reach behind your ears and just touch behind your ears and rub it. Is it tender? Yes or no? Many people are. And that's a sign that your vagus nerve is inflamed. If you reach at your throat and push down, you know, at the center part of your throat, push down left, right. Is it tender? Yes or no? Or go to your sternum, press up, push on the other side. Is it tender? Yes or no? And if you're tender in any of these spots, this is your vagus nerve saying, hey, I'm in a state of protection. I'm in a state of survival. And if you're in a state of protection or survival, you can't heal, my friend. So we really need to find that opportunity for you to pause. So if you want to choose a fast or whatever, for you to heal and for you to get into that space that you want to be able to be able to live the life that you really want to do. And that's really, to me, that's the simple answer. And it's hard to do. And if I can do it, I know you can do it because the things that I suggest to my clients are things that I've tried and, you know, it's been a process. And one of my friends we've been talking for a year about slowing down. She's like, Julie, I invite you to slow down. She's been telling me for an entire year. So I have having that support of a friend who's reminding me that it's safe to slow down when my nervous system after 40, however old I am, 46 years, has been telling me, don't slow down. It's not safe. But now it's like, you know what? Maybe you can. It's okay. You know what I mean? And just teaching that, right? So hopefully this fasting podcast made you think a little bit differently about fasting and how you approach, you know, living your life. Anyway, Dad, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think you've done a great wrap up of really what it is. And I really hope the people who, as they've listened to this, will at least change their thought and process. And when somebody talks about fasting, and that they may have a discussion with in their immediate circle, to ask if they're really just talking about not eating or they're truly talking about how we're looking at fasting as how we truly are resetting us on all levels, and which is really where healing truly occurs. As we have always talked about, we heal when we're in parasympathetic. We just sort of are going along if we're living in sympathetic dominance, which means we can't heal.
Exactly. So speaking of healing, we got a new season coming up. And so our next podcast, we're going to be talking about cold and flu season and what you can do to help prepare yourself for cold and flu season coming up. So, you know, the immunity, the lymphatic system is going to be on high alert. So what can you do to help support you? So we're going to talk about that next time. So we appreciate you being here and listening and supporting us. And if you have any questions or ideas for shows, please let us know. You can contact us in the show notes. But thank you so much for giving us the space and opportunity to share our 2 cents on the things that we shared. So have a beautiful day.
You too. We'll talk again.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health, and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.